My goodness, we missed you. But it is so good to be back. I was looking forward to today because this is my first time. I don't know if there's another one, Ruben, but this feels a little bit tricky. This is my first time coming to the outdoor R10 gathering, and we were really excited for it, and so happy that we have this place, that we can even have the opportunity to meet outside. I will say, after 2 months in quarantine with two small children in an apartment in Bucharest, as soon as we could, we ran to Ruben's parents' house, to the grandparents, and we said, "Help!" And it was such a relief to have their help, to have the kids play with their grandparents and have a yard to play in and all of this. So interesting what you start to appreciate when some things are removed. Yes, we have some fun stories from the quarantine, as everyone else does. I won't go into all of them now, but we can povesti mai târziu. We can tell you later. I just can't say enough. It's so good to see you, and it's so good to be back with you. So I'm thrilled for it, and thrilled that you made the time to come this morning. I've been reading through the Gospels and the life of Jesus, and I just think about the disciples. How was that for them to walk with Jesus every day and to be like really in the presence of God every day? In the presence of Jesus, and just see how he responded and how he talked to me. And I was just putting myself in their shoes, and I thought, how incredible. And I think they were overwhelmed and blessed and all of the above as they walked with Jesus. And then Jesus looks at them at one point and says, "It's really good for me to leave." Of course, they panic. And he starts talking to them about the Holy Spirit, because something was coming for them that they had no idea what that would look like. They had no idea how that would manifest in their lives. And Jesus was saying, "It's better." And I'm imagining they stood there in that moment thinking, how can anything be better? Like, you are God. They believed it. You are God in front of my face. And that the Holy Spirit was going to come and really indwell them. And this is going to be a whole other step for their lives. And then we enter the book of Acts, which now I've entered the book of Acts. And every time I open the book of Acts, tell me if you agree, I am super inspired. It's like this bull. It's like you plugged into this power source, and it's just power on every page. And I'm always challenged, inspired, encouraged to look through the book of Acts and just see that life of the Spirit lived out and how much that transformed those 11 men. And not just them, but we start to see them at the beginning of the book of Acts and then how God pours into their lives. And so it's this that I want to talk about today. It's to this that God has invited us, not just to be children of God, but to live a life in the Spirit, to live a life in the Holy Spirit. So the book of Acts is our first example of it. And we're going to take just one story. I wish we could just go through the whole book of Acts today. And then maybe, in 2 weeks we would finish. But just going to take one story and look at how that was lived out, what that looked like, a life in the Spirit, in this example, in Acts chapter 16. So you can go there if you have some Bible app or something with you today. So a life transformed, the person of Saul, chapter 9 in the book of Acts. He's completely transformed as he meets with God. God pours into his life, and he becomes a completely different person. So I can't go through the whole life of Paul right now, but just think of what you know of the life of Paul and go back and read it later. Saul becomes completely transformed, receives a new name, and now he's Paul. And now he's so transformed by the power of God. He's so full of the Holy Spirit, and God just launches him out into his destiny and his calling as a missionary. So many of you know his story. So he goes on his first missionary journey. It is full of miracles, the move of God, the voice of God, the direction of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit, people being transformed, the church starting to form because people are coming to Christ and people are responding and putting their faith in Christ. He speaks in synagogues, all of these people that were God-fearing Jews, they just are transformed and I want to say electrified. Just what word can I use? As the Holy Spirit enters them. And so it's this incredible first missionary journey. Now, he here's where we want to enter on his second missionary journey. When he starts off in Antioch, which is a hub, there was major revival there. There was such a move of God. It's the first place people were called Christians. Such a move of God, actually, before Paul went on his first journey. I mean, hub is a good word because people are drawn together. People are responding. The Holy Spirit's moving. And then by the Holy Spirit, God calls out Paul and Barnabas, and, you know, they go from there. So now, again, he's going from Antioch, the hub, but now with Silas, and they head out together, and then they start going a few different places, and they go to the town of Lystra. Now, in his first journey, Lystra is the place where there was so much opposition that Paul was stoned and left for dead. They thought he was dead, so they left him, but then the believers went to him, and he actually, you know, they helped him and actually get up and went back into the city. But this hit me as I see that they go back to Lystra, and it's here where they find Timothy. Now, you know about Timothy and what he became later, but this is Timothy's first step into the mission. And he's already God-fearing, his heart is ready, and Paul wants to take him on their team. So they find Timothy in Lystra. He joins the team. I just find this so significant, because if I was stoned and left for dead somewhere, I don't know that I would be running back there. I don't know about you, but it seemed like Lystra was a dead end. But God wants to say to us this morning, don't let what seems like a dead end make you give up. Because sometimes it's in the very place of adversity that God wants to give you just what you need. Don't call something a dead end when God has not called it a dead end. God was not finished with Lystra. God had a calling on a man named Timothy, and he was to become a very important part of the team. He was to become a son in the faith to Paul and a pastor of many churches later on, and just an instrument of God's hand. What if Paul said, "We're not going back to Lystra. That's a dead end." What would he have missed? What would people have missed? What would churches have missed? What would Timothy have missed if Paul said, "No, that's a dead end"? God was not finished with Lystra. So let us not call something a dead end. Let us not say, "Oh, I'm done there. I'm done with that. It's not working." Unless God has said, "You're done there. Let's move on." So together they traveled to different towns. They were strengthening the believers that they had met in the first missionary journey, and the church was growing daily in numbers. This is the beginning of chapter 16. Growing daily in numbers. That's amazing in itself. Okay, now as we enter the next part of the story, what I want to point out as we walk through the next part of chapter 16 is the things that the Holy Spirit provides that we see in the life of Paul in chapter 16. Okay, the things that the Holy Spirit provides. Because what was for Paul is for us. What was for Paul is for you, is for me, is for the teenager sitting in the group, is for the grandma sitting in the group, is for everybody in this group today. And so Paul and his team, they have plans to go to Asia, they have plans to go to Bithynia, and two different times it says that Holy Spirit hindered them and stopped them from going to those places because that was not his plan. And so they understood that from the Holy Spirit, and they did not go. And then all of a sudden, during the night, Paul gets a dream. So to save us time, I'm not reading through all the verses in 16, but I'm telling you what's there. So Paul gets this dream, and it's of a man from Macedonia, a place they have not been yet, and he's calling out for them to come and help him and others with him. And so Paul understands this is the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he wakes up his team tells his team, and the next day they change complete course and they start going to Macedonia because this is what God has said. And so clearly those are three examples right there. Now, they had other plans. Ever had a plan that sounded really good to you and that you had counted on and you understood a different kind of leading from God. Sometimes that can even be disappointing, though it should be thrilling that we're even receiving direction from God. But sometimes disappointing to our own understanding because we're so limited and we can't see. But oh, what God had for them in Macedonia. And sometimes we're looking at, you know, God, if I just take these four steps, you know, I'm right there. Like, I have this desire to get married. Here, I'm just going to bring an example. I have a desire to get married, and then we can serve you together, my spouse and I, and we'll just do so much for your kingdom, you know, and we can be so effective for you. Boom, we're there. So can you bring him? Can you bring her? Right? And instead, God has this other plan that's like, we're thinking about that, you know? And God has this other plan, hope not breaking any rules, but coming over by you. And God has this other plan, and it's like, it's not happening, it's taking so long. And then finally, okay, so we get to that place, but it was completely different timing than we thought, or a different way, and sometimes that confuses us or frustrates us, or we don't get it. But oh, the plans of God, let us trust them, let us seek them, let us expect guidance from the Holy Spirit for the decisions of our lives, for the steps of our lives. Because I don't know about you, but I want to live a God story. I want to live a God story. Before I got married, I said, God, I don't want just want some guy like that loves you. I want a God story. I want to see through the course of how I meet this guy, whoever he is, wherever he is, and I didn't know it would be in Romania. I want that to be a God story so that I look back and see your hand and see how you led me. Now, that's just one life example, but for so many pieces and aspects of life, let's live a God story because that's what God has for us. And we see it so clearly, God leading them, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we feel like, yeah, oh, that would be great. I want that, but I can't connect with that direction. I don't receive that guidance. I pray it doesn't come. I want to encourage you today. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. If you are a child of God, then God wants to lead your life and you can receive and will receive the direction of God for your life. And keep believing for that and don't give up. Okay. They go into Macedonia into a city called Philippi. They find some women by the river praying. They start with them. They start talking to them. Those women are super open. They receive the message. They invite them to talk to their families. And so the ball starts rolling. It's incredible. People responding to God in this town of Philippi. They meet a lady named Lydia. She invites them to her house. So she opens her home. They start having meetings there and reaching out to more people, of course, not just in the home, also just out in the town, on the street, in the market. And as they go, as Paul is trying to preach, there is this servant girl, like a slave girl, who is following them around and who is like screaming out and interrupting and calling out and yelling out these things. And it's like, it's hindering the message. Just jump to where she is here. In verse 17, this girl followed Paul shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. I mean, that was a pretty good thing to say. Okay, but she kept this up for many days. So finally, Paul became so troubled. Okay, because... okay, that's nice. She wasn't saying they were of the devil, but, you know, if you're trying to speak a message and she keeps screaming this and she's not screaming it out of joy and something that she's recognizing by the Holy Spirit, but she's filled with an evil spirit. So it's the voice of an evil spirit that's calling out and interrupting his messages. He becomes so troubled. It's so hindering. And just think about the possibilities. Think about how you would feel. I mean, okay, he has a mission. God told him to come. He's doing what God asked him to do. He's trying to do it. I mean, to me, what's happening is an obstacle. It's annoying. It's frustrating. It's in my way. You know, I know nobody knows what that feels like, you know, something feeling like in your way, like an obstacle. But interesting how he responds. Because he turns to her And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. Interesting how Paul responds. Like, we could think, okay, yeah, took care of it. But what Paul did was he rose above his own needs, his own frustrations, to see her need. Not just, she's in my way, would someone get her out? To see her need, and then to bring healing that led her to freedom. Sometimes we're just looking at something that seems like in our way, something that seems like an obstacle, or is just frustrating, it's just annoying. It might be in the form of a person. It might be in the form of a situation. It's just in our way. And sometimes we just we feel blocked by it, and we're just annoyed by it, and we give it so much attention because we feel like, well, okay, well, I'll be able to be effective again for God or do something for God, you know, when this is removed, when that's over, when that thing is removed, when that situation changes, well, then I guess I'll advance. Or we just let it get to us so much that we're just frustrated with that person or that thing, and we just can build up frustration with that person, and I'm annoyed with that person, and just continuing to see it as a blockage, rather than seeing something deeper. Like, he saw a need. He saw that he could be a source of healing, not Paul, but Jesus through Paul, that he could be a source of healing for her. God wants you and I to be a source of healing. Okay, like, God was doing miracles through Paul. God wants to do miracles through you. It doesn't mean that you might walk down the street and say the same thing in the same way that Paul did it. But oh my goodness, what a source of healing you can be when you and I live in the life of the Holy Spirit. Even who you are, even as your attitude, as your thoughts, as your actions are governed by the Holy Spirit, his kind of attitude, his kind of thoughts, his kind of responses. Think about the fruits of the Holy Spirit as that is evidenced in your life, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. As that is evidenced in your life, as that is who you are becoming more and more, you become a source of healing just by who you are. Not because you're so great, but because God is enlarging your heart with his compassion, because he's growing inside of you, because like John the Baptist said, he's increasing and you're decreasing. And so just who you are, it's like it brings healing to people. It's like it causes someone that maybe experienced, maybe they grew up with a lot of shame, maybe they grew up with a lot of blaming in their family, maybe they grew up with a lot of judgment in their family, maybe they grew up with, maybe there are mistakes in their past and they have their walls up, whatever they experienced, or they just, you know, maybe they're not a believer at all and they have no idea about the love and freedom of Christ. As they encounter it in you, it causes them to start to build trust with you, doesn't it? Some of you have already experienced that. Causes them to start to just let their walls down and just want to be with you. I know there have been different people that have said, just going to pick on the Biaginis for a minute, this family right here in the row, that said, you know, the Biaginis move quite often, so they meet a lot of different people. And they just, as they experience their family, they just say, like, I just want to be at your house. I just want to hang out with you guys. I just want to be with your family. Now, we do think they're great, and they are great, but there is an evidence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they can sit and tell you stories. They came to Young Adults one night, and they told us stories about how the Holy Spirit's been working in their lives and how they seek that and want that and want to grow in that. It draws people in. It causes them to let their guard down. It causes them to open up their heart. It causes them to want that too, because they're drawn to it, because every person is meant for it, for that freedom in Christ and for the healing in Christ. That's how we can even be a source of healing. I mean, in many ways, yes, we can pray for someone and they can be delivered like Paul did. But even just by who we are, by who the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and instead of living, it's so easy, without wanting to, but it's so easy to live in our own offenses or to live with a self-focus on what we need, on what we want, and the things we think we got to fix first or resolve first before we can reach further, or on our own hurts. It's so easy to live that way. But when God's compassion is growing in us, it's like it enlarges our heart. I have a friend in New York. While I tell you about my friend in New York, you can look at Philippians 2, because that's where we're going next. I have this friend in New York named Charlene, and she is one who grew up, it's actually a great family that was part of our church, and her parents were part of our church in New York, but with a lot of issues in the family. I mean, when you look at Charlene, her whole family is gorgeous. They have this son, this daughter. They seem like they have this great life. They seem so put together. If you see them walk in on a Sunday or you meet with them, it's like, wow, what a great life Charlene has. But if you get to know her, and if you look a little bit closer, you see the evidence of what she grew up with some of these issues, some of the shame that she grew up in, and a lot of blaming and judgment and all these things. And growing up in that caused Charlene to also be someone that constantly compares, that constantly feels like she measures up, because, you know, a life of comparing is either you're better than or you're not good enough. This is what you live in. You're better than or you're not good enough. This is what she lives in. And constantly trying to measure up, constantly trying to control every aspect. And so it's like such a struggle for her. But as she spent time in our church and just experienced the love of God among the people in the church, Charlene began to really open her heart up to God's love and be so transformed by that. And, you know, Charlene still has a lot of issues. Like, she's not past it. Like, oh, I'm just free. I don't have those thoughts anymore. It doesn't bother me anymore. She still has such of her own struggle with it. But she has reached out to so many other women with this love of God. Like, she just started inviting other women to come over to her house so they could pray for their husbands and their kids together. Well, people who weren't even Christians wanted to come because they thought, oh, well, that sounds like a good idea. I should pray for my husband and my kids. Or I want my family to be better and to be okay. And so all these women started coming. Of course, they were opening up to Charlene and sharing their stories. And then she would reach out to other women, just go to coffee with them. And so she's like constantly reaching out, not because Charlene really has it all together, but just because she keeps experiencing the love of God and wanting to share that while she works through her own struggles still. But it's such a story of like healing. Like, she's already a source of healing because she experienced the source of healing, even though she still needs more healing. You know what I'm saying? And I brought up this kind of story to not tell you about someone who's just like, sometimes we look at Paul and it's like, okay, you know, like Paul does no wrong. But just to bring up a person that is like, it's such a story of brokenness and life. And I know often we find ourselves there. So just jumping ahead, after we're going to go back to Acts 16, but after Paul was finished there and moved on to other cities, he writes the letter back to the Philippians who came to Christ, which is our book of Philippians. And in chapter 2, I just want to point something out. In chapter 2 of Philippians. Paul writes to them, if you have any encouragement from being with Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love and being one in spirit and purpose. Not doing anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. And don't look out just for your own interests, but also the interests of others, because your attitude should be the same of Christ Jesus. And what I see here is he's saying there is encouragement from being united with Christ. We have comfort from his love. We have fellowship because we are God's children. We have fellowship with the Spirit. There is tenderness and compassion that comes from that. And because we have all of that, then we can even come to the place to being united with one another and to having the same attitude as that of Jesus Christ. And living in humility and considering others better than ourselves. Like, that all sounds good, but to really live that out is another story. But what I want to I think the biggest thing that I want to encourage us with today is that we have the resources of the Holy Spirit because we are a child of God. So that is the biggest thing I want to say today, above everything else I'm saying. You have the resources of the Holy Spirit because you are a child of God. And when you feel like they're lacking, you know, there are things that we can do. I'm going to go to that in a second. But you have those resources. Even in Romans 8, it talks about being led by the Spirit of God. And it talks about that those who are children of God are not controlled by the sinful nature, but they have their mind set on what the Spirit desires because they're children of God. In verse 9 in chapter 8, it says, you're not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't even belong to Christ. So because you belong to Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ, and that means you're not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. I mean, sometimes we feel like we're so lacking in that category, or we're like trying, and we're trying to live for God, and we're trying to grow, we're trying to mature, and we're trying, and then we're just disappointed because of our lack, or because of failing, or because of just, you know, I'm not where I want to be. And then sometimes that causes us to like withdraw or give up or just be disappointed or doubt ourselves or think maybe it's not for me or maybe someday, not now. You and I have the resources of the Holy Spirit because we are children of God. So everything we see in the life of Paul and in this story, that is for us. We got to know what's ours so we can live in it. And not just know what's ours, but live in it. And that's a choice. So does our life bring healing? Does our tongue bring healing? Do the people in relationship with you and I experience God's compassion? When we lack it, we know where to get it. So we can go back, focus on God's love for us, pray for it, be healed in God's love for us, know it for ourselves, because then it will start to flow out of our lives. It's really easy to say amen to these verses that sound so beautiful. Of course, we agree with them. But it helps us to think, how do I respond in my relationships right now, my current relationships, and those absolutely closest to me, because those are the ones that usually are most exposed to who we really are. So those relationships closest to me, how do I respond? How do I react? How do I treat them? How do I speak to them? These are good questions to ask ourselves. Sometimes we blame people or situations for our state of being, for our own frustration or our own anger, just like how Paul was so interrupted and frustrated with this girl in this situation. But sometimes we feel, we say things like, or even in our own heads, or we feel like, look, I wasn't this way and I didn't feel this way until that person mistreated me, until I had this stressful situation, and that's why I'm irritable, that's why I'm depressed, that's why I'm this way. And so we're blaming that person or we're blaming that situation with for how we really feel, for our state of being. Because it always feels better to pass the blame so we don't have to deal with our own stuff. But sometimes we are giving too much power to someone else or to something else. Like how they treat me is going to determine my level of peace, of joy, of security, or of stability. Other times, this situation or person that's causing me pressure is actually just revealing what is already inside of me, something that needs healing or cleaning. I know that's hard to hear, but we need to hear that. Because sometimes we're just blaming. We're just pointing at this situation, at that thing, and that's our reason why I am this way. But sometimes it's just revealing what's already there. And we justify our offenses with others because of what someone else has done to us that's wrong. And so we react contrary to the life and nature of the Holy Spirit, and that's always a loss, every time. So it's always best to begin with ourselves. God, clean and heal every part of me. Maybe I have the situations driving me nuts. I want God to remove it from my life. I want it to change. I feel it's unjust. Let me just turn my back on that for a minute and turn my heart to God and say, God, start with me. Clean and heal my heart first. And then to derive our peace, our joy, our security, our stability only from God and His truth in my life, and that is real freedom. This girl is set free. It causes a big unrest in the city of Philippi because of her slave owners. Now they can't make money off of her anymore because she doesn't have that evil spirit to tell the future and these things she was doing for them. They stir up a mob in the city. They come and attack Paul and Silas. Without a trial or anything fair, in my estimation, these two innocent men are beat up, whipped, and thrown in prison, and now in chains in prison. So they've gone exactly to the place God wanted them. They've done exactly what God asked them to do. And now they're sitting in prison. Talk about blocked. Talk about stuck. They were in prison with bleeding backs. Talk about unfair. Yeah, all of the above. I don't know what you and I would have done. I really questioned myself. But I at least would have sat there saying, God, okay, if I put myself aside, I can't even do what you called me to do. So what is this? What is happening? Didn't you call us here? I can't even do what you asked me to do because now I'm stuck in this prison. But instead of all of those things that they could have said, or maybe that I would have said, what did they start to do around midnight? What did they start to do? Say it. Worship. Wow. They worshiped. And that was a choice. Yeah. I don't know. If you're with a bleeding back and everything is blocked and stuck and you're in prison, I don't know how easily worship comes. Maybe crying out in desperation, help, help. But worship, that was a choice. If you and I will make our difficulty our sanctuary of worship to God rather than our place of defeat, we will see the power and presence of God revealed in our lives. Can I say that just one more time? If you and I will make our difficulty our sanctuary, our place of worship to God, rather than our place of defeat, we will see the power and presence of God revealed in our lives. Personal victory comes from the Holy Spirit, not from our hard work, not from our circumstances, and not from the choices of other people, whatever they may be. Our personal victory comes from the Holy Spirit. Through their worship, they were possessing their victory by faith, just by faith. And all, the scripture says, the other prisoners were listening. So you better believe Christians and none are listening to your life and my life and what an impact it was making upon them. What a choice it was to worship. How easy it is to just be in a place of adversity or difficulty and just feel defeated and accept that defeat and step out of the true place that God has for you and I. But instead, I'm not saying solve it. I'm not saying work your way out of the prison, cut those chains off, you know. I mean, that was impossible. And a lot of times we're in a situation that's quite impossible as well, that we can't just work it out. I'm not saying work it out. I'm just saying worship. That's all I'm saying. Just worship and the power of true worship in your life and mine is unlimited. And it invites the presence and power of God in your life. And oh, did it invite in this story. And as they worshiped, God sent a miraculous earth-shaking moment, an actual earth that Paul and Silas were already free men. But now, okay, the chains were off, and they could run freely out of the prison. And what a victory. If I would say first that God gives us a guidance by the Holy Spirit, and second, healing through our lives by the Holy Spirit, then as we choose to worship, it's victory from the Holy Spirit. And what happens next is, wait, let me stop before I say what happens next. If we worship, maybe an earthquaking moment will come that just changes everything. Maybe it will come because God can do that too. And maybe it won't, but victory is guaranteed. It just looks differently at different times, right? Victory is guaranteed. Okay, so the doors flew open. They were free to go. I mean, this is the moment. And they don't run. They don't run because they see someone in the other corner. And it's the jailer who's responsible for all the prisoners, and he's ready to kill himself with his own sword. Because if they go, he's dead anyway. And so he sees this as such desperate. He's almost going to kill himself. And so instead of running, they go to him and they stop him. And they say, we're all here and we're not running and we're not leaving. And so because they were living in the Holy Spirit, they had an eternal focus. This is something else that comes from the Holy Spirit, an eternal focus. So instead of just seeing this as their moment to go, they see it as a moment for that jailer. And because they were walking by the Spirit and not just a momentary self-focus, they didn't miss an incredible opportunity. As they minister to the jailer, he turns his life to Christ, and then he wants them to come to his entire family. They go to his entire family. The whole family turns to Christ. They all want to get baptized. That happens, and I think, what if they would have run? And sometimes we're going so fast through life, we can so easily miss it. An incredible opportunity, because the jailer would have killed himself. So he would have missed that. We can't say, oh, maybe he would have come to salvation later. Nope. He was going to kill himself. So this was his only moment. So they didn't miss that. That means his family didn't miss it. And that he joined the Philippian church. I mean, this, what they would have missed. What all of them would have missed. But an eternal focus, it's imperative. The relationship that develops between Paul and this Philippian church is so beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful ones from all the churches that Paul started in his missionary journeys. And we see that reflected in the letter of Philippians, which we don't have time to go through today. But I just walked through, as I was studying, I walked through the book of Philippians, his letter to them later, and just pulled out these different aspects I just want to read to you. So if it helps you to close your eyes, if it whatever helps you to concentrate, just listen to this list of the perspective of the Holy Spirit, like the life of the Holy Spirit that's seen in that letter to the Philippians, that's lived out in the life of Paul and that he's encouraging them towards now. And this church grows in such a beautiful way. Okay, he sees them. So here's the list from Philippians. He sees his fellow believers as partners. Not as servants, not as they're under me because I'm the big whatever missionary, whatever we could call Paul. He had a lot of badges on his chest. He saw fellow believers as partners. He had a love for the family of God and a desire to be with them. And as I read the list, I want you to think about your own heart and life. If these things are also evidenced in your life. A love for the family of God, a desire to be with them, a desire and prayer for their growth and their victory, an attitude of Christ, of humility and a unity with the church, not of complaining, not of arguing, a desire for purity, not a confidence in own accomplishments or flesh, a desire to know God, turning to prayer instead of fear, instead of worry, a focus on what is good, faith in God's power in us, and trust in his care for us. Other resources from the Holy Spirit are found in that book. I just want to encourage you to read Philippians. There's a key verse in Philippians that said he gives us the power to will and to do his purpose. To will and to do. So not only does he give you the power to do it, but even to want it. Sometimes we don't want it. Sometimes I don't want it. I know what is his will and I don't want it. And he even gives us that, the power even to will, even to want it. I just want to close with telling you, about my sister Jamie. She's the oldest child in our family. And by personality, let's say, she did a personality test a few years ago. And there were different titles of the personalities. And her personality was called the Sherman Tank. Okay. Meaning, like, if you know, an army military tank, you know, that rolls through and just, you know, plows through anything in its way. She's like, first child, knows her opinion, get it done, make it happen. She's a strong leader. She's in different aspects in life. But what I've seen in Jamie's life is that even though this is her personality, which is no fault to her, I mean, there's a lot of strength in that. As you think about the idea of Sherman Tank, you could also think of the risks of that kind of personality. But she has learned to walk in the Spirit. God has been teaching her over years of time. And I'm choosing her as an example, not to praise my sister, but because she's so close to me, I've seen her life completely exposed before me. Like, there are no walls and nothing, you know, masks that she can wear from me. And I have seen this development of her relationship with God, and that over time of experiencing God's love evidenced in others, even in her husband, whose selflessness has disarmed her at times when she was ready to prove, when she was ready to prove her point, when she was ready to prove that she was right, when she was ready, his selflessness just disarming that in her. The Holy Spirit has done such a work in her life as she yielded to him and desired that growth. She is strong, but she is submitted to the Holy Spirit, and that is a beautiful combination. It's not just beautiful, but it's powerful. So I know when I call her, when I'm upset, I have a frustration, I have a situation in my life, I know that she will not take offense for me. She will not just come and pat my back so I will feel better or be, how could they do that? And how could, you know, taking offense for me? I know she won't do it. I know that she will point me to the truth. She won't just stroke me. She will point me to the truth. She will point me to God's perspective. She won't judge the ones who have mistreated me, because her perspective is going to be heaven's and not human, what's just most natural. So she's not only free, but she helps set others free. I've experienced it. Like calling her with an issue. It's like my personal counselor. No, she is a counselor too. But as she points me to the truth, it's freeing. It's freeing for me. I've experienced myself, and so have others. And that's God's heart for all of us. It's been such a journey for her. She's still on it and still struggles and has her moments. But just seeing God shape her life, it's the life of the Holy Spirit being lived out in her. And that's God's desire for all of us. Can you just close your eyes with me? I just want to remind you of that one statement I made earlier. You have all the resources of the Holy Spirit to be victorious, to be mature in Christ, to grow, to move forward, to fulfill God's purpose and destiny for your life. You've got it. You've got it by the Holy Spirit, because you're a child of God. And so in your journey of growth in Christ, let us continually learn and understand what is ours in Him so we can live in it. Oh God, in places of difficulty, I pray that we would choose to worship, so that it won't become just a place of defeat, that it will become a place where your power and where your presence is revealed in our lives. Let us become, God, a source of healing, because you're changing us, because we're becoming more like you. God, let healing flow through our lives. God, let us not say that we're done, that it's a dead end, until you say we're done. But let us keep our eyes on you and keep growing in you and keep moving forward in you. I thank you for every person in this yard right now, for the work you're doing in their lives, for the Holy Spirit that's living inside of them, that they have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of them, that they have the mind of Christ, that these are the treasures we have as children of God. Let them only grow. Let those things in us only grow and become more manifest, so that we may be become closer to you, God, and more like you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the beauty of that and the power of that in our lives. We welcome you and want more of you in Jesus' name.